Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, man, beam me up. What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
The guys are the best.
You guys make it. Permission to board that
plane. Another mother. Your ship has connected.
And you the man, CA.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Happy Thursday to you. Big show coming up for you today. How about Saints great Deuce McAllister? The deuce is loose. We'll talk to Deuce about the prognosis of Drew Brees and where the Saints go from here. How long will Brees be out? And in that time span, do you go to Jameis Winston? Do you go to Taysom Hill? And will the Saints be able to hold on to this divisional lead over the Buccaneers? We'll talk to Deuce McAllister about it coming up here on the show in hour number 4 this morning. Also, we'll discuss around the NFL world coming up here this morning on the DA show. You look at the Giants facility. You know there's accountability on the field, but is there also accountability and a hard way to do things off of it? The coaching staff getting hard-nosed. Maybe a physical altercation, a verbal altercation. We'll discuss what happened in Giants land yesterday, which led to an ousting of a coach. Also, 20 minutes from now, Bill Belichick, did he screw over one of his players out of Pro Bowl money? And is Russell Wilson in denial with how many times he's turned the football over recently? From a baseball standpoint, how stupid could Robinson Cano be? And we'll have Badlands Booker join us this morning on the show to settle our debate from yesterday, which was centered around when is the appropriate time to eat on Thanksgiving Day. Who better to ask than the one and only Badlands Booker, multiple-time Wienership Challenge champion and competitive eater extraordinaire, a man that takes down the Admiral's Feast at Red Lobster as though it was just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. All of that coming up this morning here on the show. You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS is a good way to hit me up, DA on CBS. Last night, the NBA draft. Weird timing. Usually it's in June, obviously, so to have the NBA draft nearing Thanksgiving was a bizarre feeling, but either way, teams needed to stock up on their rookies and make some trades as well as we get into the final month before the NBA season kicks off again. Indeed, think about that. It feels like we just had the Lakers crown champions, But opening night for the NBA is just over a month away on December the 22nd. So time to get those offseason rosters in place. We had some winners last night. Let's delve into them. It is Where We Begin, your cold open.
I just want to be the best player to ever play basketball.
That's it? It's that simple?
Best player to ever play basketball, yeah.
Got a lot of great players in that team. So me just coming in, just trying to fit my role, just trying to stay humble and just trying to be coachable, which I am. Work hard and just play hard. So really like that fit and that position that I'm in, it's a great position for me, great fit for me. And I'm just ready to go in there and just play my role.
Man, straight blessing, for real. I don't even have enough words to say. I mean, I'm just blessed right now, for real.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So those were the voices of the top three picks in this draft. The Timberwolves went number one with Georgia's swingman Anthony Edwards, who said, I just want to be the best ever to do this. Okay, bar set kind of high. The Warriors at number two took Memphis big man James Wiseman. And the Hornets at number three took LaVar Ball's youngest, LaMelo Ball. In terms of winners for me, let's start off of the draft. And that would be because of a trade, the Philadelphia 76ers. Earlier in the day, trading away Al Horford and needing to package a first-round pick to do it. But I really liked that because it freed up the Sixers from that ridiculous contract that was bestowed upon Al Horford last year that obviously never ended up paying dividends. I didn't like it. I never liked that fit. Last year, the Sixers clearly didn't benefit from having Al Horford on that roster, and Daryl Morey on draft night's able to get him out of the way and bring in Danny Green. Now, again, you've got to trade away a first-round draft pick and a second-round pick, but you get back Danny Green, added $8.6 million trade exception, and now you're not paying Al Horford's contract. Instead, that went out the door. I thought that was a big win for the Philadelphia 76ers as Al Horford heads to Oklahoma City. The Thunder also a winner, because they've got cap room and they've got a million first-round draft picks. So we're going to reach the point where the Thunder have all of the first-round draft picks over the next decade, or what? Add another one to the list for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I also like James Wiseman for the Warriors. I think since Golden State's built around the perimeter, getting a young big man like Wiseman is a really good fit for them. I actually liked him better than Anthony Edwards. I thought that even though we had such a small type of sample size because he played so limited last year before the NCAA stepped in, I think that Wiseman's a really athletic, gifted big man built in the modern mold. He's not the traditional stand-of-the-blocks big man. So I think the Warriors made a savvy move there. I did like him better than Anthony Edwards. Now, there's a loser part of this, and that is Golden State because of the Klay Thompson injury. But we don't know the severity of that yet. He injured his leg in a workout. We got news of this yesterday afternoon. We don't know the severity of it. He's going to have an MRI today, and we'll see. So you could add the number two pick in the draft, but lose one of the best sharpshooters in NBA history. I also thought the Knicks were a rare winner last night. They end up with Dayton Flyer standout Obi Toppin, who led the nation in scoring, and Toppin was a highlight machine last year for the A-10. I know that we here on CBS Sports Network had profiled him and spotlighted him so many times over the course of the regular season, so we certainly had a good chance to watch him at Dayton, and Toppin is an explosive player. I liked it, though, because Knicks fans have been waiting for something to feel good about for a long time, and Toppin grew up as a Knicks fan. He grew up just outside of New York City, so he's from the area, and he was crying tears of joy last night that it made it feel like, wow, this is actually a feel-good moment for Knicks fans when they never had feel-good moments. So I like that play as well for the New York Knicks. Those are my winners last night of the NBA draft. Mraz, who were your winners from the first two rounds, the only two rounds of the 2020 NBA draft?
Can a winner be us that the draft is finally over after the lack of buzz heading in?
Or sure, yeah,
obvious?
We could do that. Yeah.
Because, frankly, I mean, we could break down all the draft picks we want. The angle I'm going to take here is, boy, could a draft have any less buzz or any less juice than it did last night. Virtual or no virtual. Thank goodness for the NBA trades, and thank goodness for the Al Horford trade. And I don't want to say thank goodness because it's terrible what happened to Klay Thompson, but I found last night's draft DA to be the ultimate snooze fest and the worst draft, even worse than an Anthony Bennett draft for me.
Anthony Bennett is kind of held up as the biggest bust of the last, what, 25, 30 years in the NBA.
Right.
First-round draft pick. He was jettisoned by the Cavaliers. He was the number one overall pick, jettisoned by the Cavaliers within, what, a season and a half or something like that, and then never ended up having really a professional basketball career. You think that Anthony Edwards is worse than Anthony Bennett, or just that there's no juice?
There's no juice. I think Anthony Edwards, I mean, look, he's built of granite. I think he has a much better chance to succeed than Anthony Bennett, but overall, top to bottom, just the lack of pure superstardom in this draft, I think combined with the fact that it's football season, combined with the fact that there was no NCAA tournament, I think we just sat through, in my opinion, the draft that is the worst draft of our lives in terms of juice. Now, I think there's an opportunity for obviously plenty of these players to succeed, and if I really wanted to pick a serious winner, my winner would actually be the Orlando Magic and getting Cole Anthony, because I think Cole Anthony, remember we were talking about this time last year, might be the number one pick in the draft for him to slide. He played in a situation in North Carolina where, you know, Roy Williams basically was taking guys from mid-majors to put a supporting cast around him. He had a terrible supporting cast, so I think he could succeed big time. But ultimately, there's no Zion Williamson in this draft. It's a draft that didn't have the juice to begin with stars, throwing the fact that it's been a crazy year. And I'm sitting there last night watching DA going, wow, put toothpicks in my eyes. This is the worst NBA draft I've ever seen.
Remember, we're coming up on an NBA draft, which once again goes back to high schoolers. So you're going to know even less about some of these draft picks coming up here in a few years when the NBA turns back the clock and allows the 18-year-olds to come in.
Yes, but I do think there's a difference if we do this draft in July where we could fully engulf, come off the NBA season a little bit, maybe, you know, get a little more buzz. Who, I mean, honestly, unless it was one of your teams picking in the top five and you really, really digested, maybe you got into YouTube, and it's crazy to even say, in the midst of football season, to have the NBA draft on a Wednesday night, there's just only so much room in your brain as a sports fan to really digest and get excited or really delve deep into the guys that were about to be picked.
So we'll see. I mean, I have hope that some of these guys could end up being stars or at least perennial all-pros or all-stars, rather, in the NBA. One kid that I liked, and he's really not a kid, he's more of a young man, was the young man out of Israel, Danny Avdija. Okay, and I like this kid because I'd read a profile on him a couple of months ago, maybe a couple of years ago, actually, that he was this great playmaker out of Israel and that he played like an NBA-style type of game. And after the Luka Doncic splash, everybody's been looking for the next European sensation. And some people believe that Denny could be it. Now, he did a post-game interview. He ended up sliding to number 9 with the Washington Wizards and ended up doing that post-draft interview, rather. And he seemed really calm and cool and collected, and he knows his English pretty well, and I think that he'll assimilate pretty well because of his comfort level with the States and his comfort level with English, etc. But also, if you look at his style, it's really a highlight style. It's a guy that likes to make the behind the back pass. It's a guy that likes to run the break. It's a guy that likes to finish. A lot of natural talent. So I'm very interested by him. Very rarely do you have top end talent come out of a little country like Israel, but he is one of those rare commodities. And if you watch him on film, he's, I think, one of the most interesting, intriguing prospects that came out of last night's draft. It felt like there were some big time reaches. And I think that was because of two things. Number one, as you just said, there was not star power in this draft. Anthony Edwards was one of the quote-unquote stars, but most casual basketball fans never watched him play at Georgia. Weissman, kind of, but again, he only had a handful of games at Memphis. There just wasn't the traditional college star, and there wasn't the traditional, even international star that had been hyped up so much like a Luka Doncic for many, many years. But number two, I think that NBA teams are getting smarter in that they look at the Greek Freak, they look at non-traditional prospects that become dominant because now you have such a wider net to cast globally, and because guys in college, you're playing so briefly before, you know, you could actually kind of assess anything. How do they compare against actual teenagers from across seas? You have LaMelo Ball, who never played college basketball, that played only across seas, because you have so many other working parts to try to assess. I think NBA teams are now a little less inclined to just go, okay, 1 through 30, here's the traditional power rankings, and we'll take number 14 and number 14, number 15 and number 15. So you see reaches, and that's somewhat interesting, but it also makes things it's harder to wrap your mind around some of these guys that go that high, because everybody's looking for like this Giannis splash. Because once you get past like the top eight, it's rarely right. going to happen that any of these guys turn into anything anyway. So the NBA draft become a very weird draft. And last night was one of the weird draft, because there was no really high-end talent. I mean, even people thought that Wiseman was a reach at number two for the Warriors. And I thought he was kind of the consensus number one or number two pick in this draft.
Yeah, and obviously getting LaMelo Ball in Charlotte and having a Ball deal with Michael Jordan, to me, is the most fascinating part to come out of this whole thing.
LaVar Ball once upon a time said that he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. Michael ended up taking his youngest son, LaMelo Ball, at number three. So what will those conversations be like in Charlotte between LaVar and Michael? Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, Get Emmy, DA on CBS, if you got thoughts on the NBA draft. When we return, could this be the most classic hoodie of hoodie moves? Saving money in future negotiations by dismissing one of your players from Pro Bowl eligibility. We'll explore it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. So get a quote. Geico.com. That's easy. And listen to the show every single day in podcast form. Listen whenever you want to either the full episode, 4 full hours, or you could do so in bite-sized form, a one-hour special best-of edition available on YouTube, or I should say available on your favorite podcast platform every single day. Just search The DA Show. On YouTube, you'll get the best-of clips every single day as well. So just find the CBS Sports Radio channel on YouTube or search The DA Show, and you'll see the best-of every single day there. The big NBA news yesterday outside of the draft was that Klay Thompson injured his leg in a workout, in a game with other NBA players, a pickup game, which I wonder if this was cool by Warrior standards. Remember that he was coming off, obviously, missing the entire year last year with the ACL that he suffered in the NBA Finals against the Raptors 2 finals ago. So he missed the entire season. This was not a team function. Now, granted that workouts in the COVID era are a little bit more scattered and a little bit less maybe organized than during the pre-COVID era. But I wonder about the Warriors' feeling about him playing in this, because obviously he was coming off the injury. The tough thing is that the Warriors were planning on being back to contenders this upcoming season. A healthy Steph, a healthy Draymond, a healthy Klay Thompson, who had signed for big money. And last year was kind of the anomaly, the blip. They would obviously have the number 2 pick of the draft coming in to help out as well. And you would think that the Warriors would be back to being contenders in the Western Conference. If Klay Thompson is out again in some fear to Achilles injury, which could keep him out the season, that would be a devastating blow to the Warriors' title chances. And it would also really crash back down to earth what the Warriors will ever be capable of again. I mean, because remember, these guys are not young anymore. I think because the Warriors have been in our lives for so long, it feels like they're perpetually in their mid-20s. But Steph Curry is now 33 years old. And Klay Thompson will be 31 years old. And these are, and Draymond Green last year definitely showed signs of slowing down and being ineffective at this point in his career, maybe because of all the physical basketball he has played over the years. For the Warriors, who got kind of screwed out of a coronation of the Chase Center in downtown San Francisco last year because of the injuries, will they get A, fans of the building this year, and B, a competitive team? This injury, Mraz, could be a devastating blow to, once again, not only the Warriors being contenders this year, but how much longer that window's actually open for them to be contenders.
Right, because if Klay Thompson is indeed done for the year, now we're talking about basically being 3 years removed from basketball by the time you see him again. That's a lot of time off and two leg injuries to assume that Klay Thompson will ever be what he was before. And then, you know, a couple of maybe frustrating years now for Steph Curry without his running mate. Draymond Green, obviously the style of basketball he plays, not getting any younger. And it really is a shame because going into last night when the Warriors are picking number two overall, you're thinking, well, they take Wiseman here. This is unbelievable because you really don't get a finals contender ever picking in the top three of a draft. It was unusual circumstances, obviously, that let us down here. And everything that you were thinking about a big man who can kind of play everything outside, inside, and mesh with the Splash Brothers situation kind of goes out the window if you lose one of those Splash Brothers. And I really thought that the Warriors, along with, you know, a team like the Nets who didn't make a deep run, any of these teams that weren't involved with the bubble late, with a season that was going to be starting around Christmas, would have an opportunity to get off to fast starts, maybe get ahead in the standings a little bit while these other teams that were really powerhouses that played a lot of basketball recently maybe fell behind. And now the Warriors just won't have that opportunity. And it's hard in this deep West to think basically a team just led by Steph Curry and Draymond Green is going to be any sort of a playoff threat.
We'll get the update sometime today on the MRI for Klay Thompson, so hopes are that it's not so bad. But what an interesting irony in that the Warriors seem to totally step into bleep. I mean, they stepped into it because the 1 year that the salary cap expands, that is the 1 year Kevin Durant is available, and that is the 1 year they're coming off beating Kevin Durant, coming back from down 3-1, and going to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And that is the 1 year that they're coming off losing the NBA Finals. So they felt as though, hey, we need you to come in to slam the door again and win some rings. It all was the perfect confluence of events, and it made them unstoppable, unbeatable for three seasons until Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson got injured in the NBA Finals against the Raptors. And now, ever since that Finals, it's been bad luck after bad luck after bad luck. When, remember, them building the Chase Center and investing all of their own money was supposed to be to make them the financial NBA powerhouse with all these different revenue streams. They moved across the bay into downtown San Fran with this incredible, gleaming new building, and they were like, this is going to make us all of the money now. And ever since the NBA Finals 2 years ago, it has been just a series of terrible luck for a franchise that seemed like they were smitten with the greatest luck ever in NBA history. This is an interesting Patriots story, okay? For the Patriots, you know two of their defensive backs, Jason McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore, one of the best corners in the NFL. Jason McCourty has been around the NFL for quite a long time and been a Patriot for quite a long time, winning multiple rings there. They also have a young buck, a rookie named J.C. Jackson. And while J.C. Jackson doesn't start for the Patriots, he takes and plays a lot of snaps. In fact, he's played the second most snaps on defense. So while he is not traditionally listed as a starter for the Patriots, he comes in almost every passing situation and plays in many run situations as well. He has the second most snaps on the defense. Well, I didn't know this is how it worked, but every NFL team has to issue its Pro Bowl candidates. I always thought that everybody in the NFL was eligible. It just depended on how the votes went. Apparently, that's not the case. Apparently, every NFL team submits 11 players for the Pro Bowl ballot. Okay? Who knew? So you submit your 11 starters, your 11 players to this Pro Bowl ballot, and then that's when the votes happen amongst the players around the NFL. The Patriots, despite J.C. Jackson playing all of those snaps, and despite J.C. Jackson not only leading the team in interceptions and leading the league in interceptions, knocked him off of the Pro Bowl submission list. That's curious, isn't it? Jackson has 6 picks, more than Jason McCourty, more than Stephon Gilmore, and yet both McCourty and Gilmore were on the submitted list by the Patriots. The Patriots explain this as saying, quote, "We listed the 2 corners who have started the most games at corner and who have the longest tenure. If we could list a 3rd corner, we would have listed Jackson or Jonathan Jones, but you're asked to list the 11 defensive starters." So this is the Patriots loophole. Hey, you're supposed to list the 11 starters, not your backups, so we didn't do it. Plus, the guys that are starting are longer tenured. But there's been a conspiracy theory bandied about that the reason the Patriots did not put Jackson on this list is actually to save money. And that is when Jackson, as a youngster, comes up to renegotiate a contract, had he had a Pro Bowl bid under his belt, he would have been making more money. He would have had more leverage. And instead, the Patriots can keep him at a lower level by not allowing him to have that nod. So here's what I think. I don't think it's necessarily as diabolical as that. And that's saying something coming from me who thinks everything within the Patriots organization is totally sleazy and shady, okay? But I don't necessarily jump to that conclusion, and here's why. I think that Belichick loves the veterans far more than the young players, and he does this with a lot of things. I think he always tries to keep young players at bay. I think he always tries to keep them at arm's length. I think he always makes them uncomfortable and keep them from getting too comfortable. I think he trusts the McCourty twins. Obviously, he's had them for a long time, at least one of them, Devin, for a long time. He trusts Stephon Gilmore. He's won Super Bowls with those guys. I don't think he worries about the egos of those guys. He knows the work ethic. He knows the discipline. He knows the accountability. And those are the things that he values most. So I think this is more, I don't want the kid to have a big head. He's a rookie. He's played 10 games, and we're going to put him in the Pro Bowl. I don't believe in that. I believe if there's going to be guys that earn Pro Bowl slots, it's going to be my veteran guys that I know I trust. They're Patriot guys. Okay, now that's a little egomaniacal. When you're playing that puppeteer with guys' Pro Bowl nods, I want these guys to get the love, not this guy, even if this guy's more deserving. That, you can argue, is dysfunctional. But I don't necessarily believe this is about, I don't want to deal with a negotiation 4 years down the road or 3 years down the road because he made a Pro Bowl. Because if Stephon Gilmore makes a Pro Bowl, he's going to negotiate that anyway. If Jason McCourty makes a Pro Bowl, if any of these guys make a Pro Bowl, that's part of the negotiation. So why is it more deadly for J.C. Jackson to have a Pro Bowl nod than any of these other players? I don't know. I think this is just along the lines of, he likes to mold young players into not taking anything for granted. And this is one of those things. Hey, you're not even starting. You've played half a season as a rookie. Pro Bowl, you ain't a Pro Bowler. I coach Lawrence Taylor. I coach Ty Law. You're not a Pro Bowler. I know Pro Bowlers. I think it's more along those lines. I would also say that there could be a happy ending here because apparently the Patriots had made an adjustment after this initial submission list where J.C. Jackson did eventually get on the Pro Bowl ballot. So we'll see if he makes it. He leads the league in INTs. I know, Mraz, you can't wait to say that this is all about the hoodie, just pinching pennies and being a cheapskate.
It feels like a DA. It really does, because it would be such a Belichick moment. But I would even say on the flip, if it's not that, I don't even know if it's as diabolical as what you're saying, or is it simply there's only one NFL head coach / general manager that could care less when he's put in front of ballot to submit 11 Pro Bowlers, and that could easily be Belichick. His focus could be on so much the week in and week out that whoever from the Patriots department that's in charge of submitting this to the NFL comes to Bill and goes, "Hey, Bill, we need to list 11 people for the Pro Bowl," and I could just picture some kind of grumble in him not caring at all. And it just leads to somebody else submitting, goes, all right, I'll just put down the 11 starters. And Belichick actually having absolutely nothing to do with it because he's so above and so hyper-focused on everything but the Pro Bowl that he wants nothing to do with submitting the Pro Bowl submissions.
Now I'm trying to win a game here.
Right. I mean, could you imagine handing Bill Belichick a Pro Bowl ballot? He'd be like, oh, what do I care about this for?
I'm trying to beat the Texans here, okay? working on a game plan here to beat the Texans, okay? Okay, Bill. Sorry. We'll just put the starters on there for you. Okay.
Needs a little work, do you?
Okay. Well, give me your Belichick.
I mean, I don't think I have a better Belichick than you, but I think you have better impersonations. Do you want me to give you a Belichick? I'll give you a Belichick, all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Needs a little work. Never mind. I'm not good at it.
Blade, guys.
I'm not good at it. Bogus, do you have a Belichick?
I don't, which is why I'm not going to do it, because I would sound just like French fried potatoes from Sling Blade, so I'm going to leave this one alone.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad. But hold on now, are we saying we can't make fun of other people's impersonations unless you have a better one? Is that the rule?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you guys want to just take shots at my impersonations but not have your own impersonation?
No. But we can admit your impersonation stinks, but it's way better than what we could do. And also, you've set the bar high for other impersonations.
Oh, here's the backhanded gloss.
Here. No. Your Gruden's pretty good.
Oh, now the Gruden's good. You were bagging on me for years for the Gruden.
It's gotten better. You've developed your game. You've improved it. You do a lot of impersonations that sounds like one of the Bears fans from SNL.
Oh, you hated those as well. Yeah. Okay, so we're coming around on these.
Tony Sperano was good for a long time when you used to do Sperano. So
the late Tony Sperano.
Yes, the late Tony Sperano. I'm sorry, but I just think that Belichick you just did for somebody that used to work in Boston, I would expect a little better. That's all.
I don't really know anybody that does a great one. I guess Caliendo tries to do a decent one, but really it's just about a snort and a grumble. That's really all you can do.
So when you focus on the snort and a grumble, you end up okay. All right.
Not one of my best, but hey, it's also 6:35 in the morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning. How is a kind sir today?
We're all good, guys. Good morning to both of you and to Nancy Marash, of course. Our first headlines this morning are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. This time yesterday, we were pretty certain Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball would be the first three picks in the NBA draft. The exact order was the only question, and we ended up with Edwards in Minnesota, Wiseman a Warrior, and LaMelo in Charlotte. The intrigue began at number four, and the Bulls made an immediate surprise, taking Florida State wing Patrick Williams, who didn't start for the Seminoles, but was the ACC Sixth Man of the Year. Chicago GM Arturis Karnishevas explains.
Physical specimen, you know, one of the youngest prospects in the draft class. Defensive versatility is what we liked. Long arms, big hands, you know, such an upside and potential. You know, this is what the NBA is today. He can play from 1 through 5.
The next surprise was DA's guy, Israeli forward Denny Avdija, lasting till number 9, and the Wizards, their GM is Tommy Shepard.
You try not to really keep looking at the board when he's still on there and they get to 6-7. You just don't want to get too excited yet. It's like talking about a no-hitter in the 7th inning. But when we kind of got an idea at 8 what they were going to do, and certainly it was a no-brainer for us.
Some mock drafts had Avdija as high as the 4th pick.
Andrew Kaplan, by the way, secretly now has the Wizards as his second favorite team because he is a wizard?
Because he's the Wizard of Watch DA, he's now adopted the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, so we know he's a diehard Celtics fan, but do you think if Andrew Kaplan's watching the draft last night, knowing that in the last year plus he's become an actual wizard, that somewhere in his soft spot of his heart, he goes, man, it's a good pick for the Wizards. Like, he's developing a love for the Wizards because he is a wizard?
I hope so. I mean, he really is a literal wizard. He waves a wand and puts graphics up on a screen and somehow gets us televised. So I really hope that, he's now adopting the Wizards as his literal hometown team.
Right, like if the Timberwolves were the Minnesota Fat Slobs, I think there's a part of me that would be like, I'm going to lean this way.
Really?
So I just wonder if you were a wizard like Kaplan is and there's a team named the Wizards, do you suddenly start pulling for them?
We'll have to ask cap that. But what I love about the Wizard of Watch DA is that disgusting moment like yesterday, you pulling up your shirt and showing us the Buddha belly and then squeezing it and jiggling it and all around. He immediately put up as a gif and said, "Why, Sean? Yeah. Why?"
Yeah. I've dodged a bullet too. My wife hasn't seen that one yet, so that's a good thing.
Oh, has Nancy learned about it yet?
I haven't received a text. Usually if something really gross like that would happen, it would lead to me sleeping in the other room and a lot of phone calls and texts, and I haven't gotten that. So I wonder if just it slipped through the cracks or people understand that everybody has to quarantine 15 and don't throw stones right now.
No, I think that
that's just 15 extra pounds?
They're all in your belly button. I think it's just Nancy and Danielle were so locked into the NBA draft. It went over their head. They were following Sham Sharania so closely.
And I'll say this too. My 9 and 6-year-olds loved it. I don't know if that's necessarily our target audience, but it played really well in the grammar school audience on this end.
So your kids know that Mraz is not a real celebrity, or because they see video clips, do they think that he's a celebrity like a Kevin James?
Well, first of all, I don't know who Kevin James is. Second of all, I don't think they think that any of us are celebrities.
Okay.
I mean, they couldn't care less about what I do. I mean, every once in a while they say something sweet, like as if they're processing what's going on, that like not everybody's dad does a job like this. But no, they just know that Sean is loud and silly, and now they know what his belly looks like because of this video yesterday.
So basically my target audience is the Pro Bowl's target audience, the 9 and 6-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Huh. All right, because I could see Mraz seeming larger than life because he's on. They've never met him in person besides when he was dressed up as the Easter Bunny, right?
Yeah, and then they didn't even know really who he was. I do, obviously, because he was the Easter Bunny. I had to say who was in there. And the only other videos they've seen are Sean being Sean, so like, you know, they were confused by the animal confusion that Sean has had, you know, who comes from where, how do you feed this, and you know what bears have tails. So I don't know exactly how they feel about Sean, but they were at least entertained yesterday.
Okay, because I would love to find the kid that consider Sean to be this kind of like larger than life celebrity, and oh my gosh, the funny man's doing more funny things. I'm sure there's I think that's
boy, way to make me feel good about myself, DA. Oh,
I think
here
that's
we go.
Dennis's college age daughters that think that about Mraz.
They loved it.
I just remember my kids met Sean during the summer. We were out near his house and he came by, and I don't remember them being overwhelmed by meeting Sean.
So it wasn't like meeting Mickey Mouse or something like that.
No.
I had a mask and sunglasses on. They probably didn't know who I was. It's like when you see somebody in Hollywood hiding.
He's real. He's not just
a TV. Is that Zac Efron?
He's not just a cartoon character. He's real, Daddy. He's real. The funny man.
Daddy, they let him drive? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Lastly, from the NBA, and this one's a big one. You guys just discussed this. The Warriors have their fingers crossed this morning, waiting on MRI results on Klay Thompson. He may have suffered an Achilles injury during a game in SoCal yesterday. Thompson, of course, is just about back from that torn ACL from the 2019 finals. The NFL is putting all 32 teams in its intensive COVID protocols for the rest of the season starting on Saturday. The highlights are virtual meetings only, and masks must be worn at all times at facilities, even when practicing. The Raiders just put 7 defenders on their COVID list as close contacts to defensive end Cleveland Farrell. All 7, though, would be eligible to play Sunday night against the Chiefs. And the second opinion on Drew Brees' injuries, confirmed broken ribs and a collapsed lung. There is still no official timeline for his return. Mets second baseman Robinson Cano has tested positive for a PED for a second time. This one costs him all of the coming season and his $24 million salary.
Dope.
And more action last night. Ball State fought off Northern Illinois 31-25. Toledo dropped Eastern Michigan 45-28. And Western Michigan outscored Central Michigan 52-44. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. We are entering Thanksgiving week next week, and the New York Giants have 3 wins, and yet there feels like there's an outside shot right now for them to win the NFC East. If you feel like you've heard this before, it's because you have. It's Turn Back the Clock next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come on! Come on! Step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
The Giants have 3 wins. The NFC East is terrible. There's an outside shot that the Giants could win the division. Does this sound familiar? It should, because on this date 2 years ago, November 19th, 2018, Mraz and Bogish had the same take. Roll tape.
The Eagles, Washington, and Dallas all can max out at 8-8. I looked at all their schedules, so I'm looking at the 9-7 Giants right now. I am.
The goal is to win every game.
I am. I'm sorry. No. I'm back.
Why
in.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I spent the whole morning looking at schedules. No. I'm back in. No. I'm back in. It's
Come
Saquon.
On.
It's Beckham. It's, you know, here we go, hosting Minnesota on Wild Card Weekend.
Oh, so sad.
Stayed up till midnight getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're setting yourself up for disaster. They're not.
Yes, they are.
They're not going to win 7 straight games. There's no way.
It's only one game at a time. And as Odell has told us now for 2 straight weeks, it's only crazy until you do it. They changed their offensive lineup now. Things have changed. Oh, Jamon Brown is now 9-0 this year. He's the only undefeated player. Mercury Morris can't pop that champagne.
I sit there in my Zubaz pants.
I see 6 wins across the board there.
I see 8-8, and that might be good enough.
I'm done.
8-8 might be good enough.
You bogus? What would you even trick in his stupid?
The door is open. The Alex Smith
out of fish tanks like him?
No, the door is now open.
Bogus, you're trolling me at this point because there's no way you believe they're winning at Philadelphia. As bad as the Eagles are, they're not winning.
My left arm is optimistic.
They're not willing to say they're going to win at Philly and then against the Bears.
I've had it with all of them. Shermer's stupid face. Eli's stupid face.
No, I'm going to give you the Bears game. That's why they're not going to win out. That's why 8-8's doable.
So you think they're winning at Philly.
And we just suck again for 5 years. How about he doesn't play?
At Washington, home of the Titans. At Indy, home of the Cowboys.
Give me a quarterback.
You want to tell me the Titans are going to come to New Jersey and win a game?
They have
you know anything
to do,
about them?
They have to do all of those things, though.
I know.
It's really only crazy until you do it.
But we're going week by week.
Excuse me. The Bears tied Brock Osweiler in Miami. They're going to come to New York. Suddenly they're going to stomp on Saquon and the Giants. Forgive me if I'm not just giving that a Bear win.
I can't wait until the Giants get pounded by 50 points in all of these games for you guys. You know, they finish up at 4-12.
I wanted the first overall pick. I didn't want this to happen. But here we are, and
exactly.
I'm all in.
We might as well go forward.
We're
now.
All in now with 3 wins and the Alex Smith injury.
I'm working with dopes here. I'm working
this is
with
all
dopes.
We got.
You see, I may sometimes be obnoxious, unfunny, maybe off on my sports takes, but you, the people, you need me here because I am the only voice of reason during times like this. The New York Giants didn't finish 8-8. Shockingly, they didn't win the division that year. They finished 5-11 in last place in the NFC East. I knew it, and these guys didn't. They had beaten the Niners and the Buccaneers, 2 trash teams that year, and then they ended up losing to the Eagles on the road. They beat the Bears, shockingly, in overtime. They ended up beating Washington and then losing 3 straight to end the season against Tennessee, Indianapolis, and the Cowboys to finish not at 8-8, not win the division, but 5-11, and in last place by 2 games as the Cowboys won 10 games that year. The Eagles went 9-7, Washington went 7-9, and the Giants were 5-11. What do you have to say for yourself, Mraz?
I was right about not giving you the Bear game. Giants took care of them in overtime, huh?
Unbelievable. And AB, what do you have to say? You're usually far more reasonable than Mraz the Pig.
Yeah, that was the end of my Giant optimism. I've had negative optimism since then. And it is, I should point out that we were not right about any of those things. The Giants were terrible, and the Cowboys and the Eagles both broke the 8-win cap that Sean put on them. They're going to max out at 8-8. They won 10-9 games respectively. So we were wrong on every single facet of that argument.
There's no way the Cowboys win more than 8 games. They go 10-6. There's no way the Eagles are over 500. They go 9-7. There's no way the Giants are less than 7-9. They go 5-11. You nailed that one, Mraz. Yeah. That's the golden sombrero right there for you.
That was Pat Shermer's fault. Well, back now, DA. 3-7, division champs. We're back.
Ew. Ew, 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 ew. The only reasonable part about that is that there's no way anybody in the NFC East gets to 10 wins this year. So at least that's why the door is open. When we come back, Could Drew Brees heal a collapsed lung in 2 weeks?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.